Certainly thankful for the day that God has made, and we're rejoicing in this. We've been blessed to get out in the world and come to church. Boy, God has so richly blessed us with all the days of our lives. Something that's easily taken for granted, and sometimes something that we overlook, but may we always have that heart of thankfulness unto God when we pray. The Lord has been so good to us. You know, sometimes we complain, and sometimes we have trials and afflictions in our life, and we have a tendency to forget how good that the Lord has been to us. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes things are not fulfilled in our life in a manner that we desire, in a timely manner, you might say, or at least according to our time frame. And it's very easy to get upset, and it's very easy to struggle with many of those difficulties in life. I want to continue, or at least try to conclude my thoughts on the first 10 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We began a couple of weeks ago by speaking of Paul's extraordinary experience, the abundant revelations that he had, the visions that he had seen, and it was climaxed with a trip to heaven, which would be a grand and glorious thing in any of our lives. We have on record some thoughts there that heaven is a place that is beyond our ability to even tell about. None of us have been there. You know, I've often thought about heaven, and, you know, that is a place that we have a hope for and an assurance for, but yet most of heaven is unknown to us. But we have one here in the Bible who was caught up into paradise, and he tells us that it's a mind-blowing experience compared to what we've known here in this life. So we think about that when the Apostle Paul coined the phrase in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I believe every one of us can certainly say that as a child of God, and the assurance that we have and the hope that we have within us, that heaven is going to be gain. But I tell you right now, we don't have that assurance and have that experience that Paul had. We have a hope by faith, by an eye of faith, that we're going to be there, and we're going to be a place that is a blissful place, the land of bliss, a place where sin doesn't dwell. It's a great thing to read about and to study about in God's Word, and by faith and by revelation in God's Word, we do have strong faith, and we do have a great hope and an assurance. But Paul had been there. When he said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," I believe he said it like most of us could not possibly say it. In other words, he knew that when he died, he knew where he is going because he'd been there. You know, we have a great hope and assurance of where we're going, but Paul had been there. And can you imagine the difference it's made in his life? Can you imagine how it allowed him to live for Christ every day, regardless of the circumstances or the struggles that we go through? You know, the theme of these verses of the 12th chapter is, "My grace is sufficient for thee." God's grace is sufficient for your need, your every need, every day of your life. It is. It's not. It wasn't just sufficient enough to get you to heaven. It's sufficient enough to help you through the struggles of life. And friends, that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the struggles of life. We all have them. There's not a one of us here that could stand up and say, "I've never had a struggle or a problem in my life." But I think we're to draw encouragement from the teachings that we find here in these first 10 verses that would make a great difference in our life. We learned about Paul's experience and how that might apply to us and how it might encourage us. We also learned that Paul was a great example of humility. You know, humility is something that doesn't come naturally. It's hard to come by. Our human nature wants to lead us to be proud and lifted up and to think more of ourselves than we ought to. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by thy name, will humble themselves." You know, it talks about some other things in that verse that we need to do. We need to pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. But you notice there that it starts with humility. And we're not all humble people. You know, Mac Davis, as I said, made that song popular. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Well, I'll tell you right now, we're not perfect in every way. And that song was something else. But it is hard to be humble. It's hard not to be lifted up in pride. And it's hard to not have the difficulties that we find in life. So when Paul coined that phrase in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ, it was a great encouragement to us because he had seen that heaven really exists and that God does take men there, and that one day we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be there, no matter how great your struggles may or may not be. We're all going to have them, though. And be honest with you, they're going to be very similar at different times in our life. Some of us are going to lose our jobs. Some of us are going to have problems with our bosses. Some of us are going to have problems with our relationships in life, whether it be husband and wife or children or brothers and sisters in the church or folks where we work. I mean, struggles are something that every one of us are going to encounter as we go through this journey in life. Not a one of us are going to be exempt. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. He didn't say you might have them. It's a possibility. He said you can count on them. They're going to come. But the challenge for you and I is to understand that there is something far greater than the struggle that you might encounter, no matter how big it is. You know, our struggles in our personal lives, we have a tendency to believe that they're the greatest struggle that anyone's ever encountered. We think that we've been dealt something or went through something that's far greater than the average person, but that's not so. The Bible makes that clear. But our human nature, with the help of Satan, gives us a tendency to believe that things are happening to us that just don't happen to other people. We all struggle. But our attitude is extremely important. You know, it's not about the struggle. It's about how we view the struggle. Because we're all going to have them. You know, if we allow the struggle to take us down, it will. If we allow the struggle in life to become us, it will. It'll make our life miserable, and it'll make it hard for us to continue in the way that we should go. You know, I don't like struggles any more than you do. I don't think Paul liked them either. Let's begin down in verse 7 and kind of continue with this. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Now, Paul begins this verse and ends this verse with the same words. Notice. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The one thing that interests me so much about this verse was the Apostle Paul absolutely knew, because of the abundance of revelations he had had, the extraordinary experiences, the trip to heaven, that it was very likely, if not certain, that if he did not get this thorn in the flesh, had God not given him this thorn in the flesh, this burden in his life, that he would be exalted above measure. That he would rise up and he'd think, boy, howdy, look at me. He'd get the big head and think, I'm somebody special. The Lord favors me far above other men. I'm very special in his kingdom. That's our human nature. Pride rises up and it carries us to places that we can't imagine. You know, when we esteem ourselves as more valuable than someone else, we have the problem. That's the sin of pride rearing its ugly head. We have these struggles. And Paul had these struggles. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure. So Paul is an individual here that knew he needed a thorn in the flesh. And you know, when you consider whether or not you've got a thorn in the flesh, and it's not your spouse, I'll assure you if you think that. It's not. But have you ever thought about it? Has God ever burdened you with something in your life that just doesn't seem to go away? Paul knew that it was necessary. Could you say yourself that it's necessary that God would burden me with something that'd keep me on a level plane? That'd keep me from getting the big head? It'd keep me from thinking that I'm better than others? That I'm more popular with God than others? That I'm just... God has more goodness for me than he does someone else? Have you ever thought that? You know, You know what happened over in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when the children of Israel were extremely blessed, I believe comparable to this nation. It says when you're lifted up. We all have this tendency. And Paul knew the tendency was in him also. Paul seen things that you and I hadn't seen. He struggled, as I stated last couple of weeks, in a way that you and I hadn't. But he still knew that pride was a problem. He did not want to be exalted above measure. Now let's think about sufferings. You know, none of us want to suffer. None of us want to talk about it. But I can tell you right now, we're all going to suffer some. The Bible makes that clear. You know, there's such a thing as just, we suffer sometimes because we're human beings. You know, the body gets old. It begins to fail. We begin to lose our hearing, our sight. Things happen. You know, you may exercise a lot. You may eat a proper diet or do the best that you can. And you know, I encourage it. I try to do that. I'm not the best at it, but I believe it is something that we should be good stewards of, the temple of the Holy Ghost, our bodies. But yet, no matter how good you take care of your body, there is coming that day that it will fail. We wasn't meant to live here forever. We're to understand that there are things that we're going to suffer in this life. Even though they're not pleasant, even though we have no desire for them, they're going to come. Sometimes we suffer because we're foolish. You know, the Bible makes it clear that what we sow, we're going to reap. Sometimes we may spend money for things, money we don't have for things we don't need, and bring a great burden of debt upon ourselves down the road. Foolishness there. Not necessarily the fact that you sinned or didn't sin, but sometimes foolishness in our lives and an inability to apply God's wisdom to our everyday life can bring suffering in our lives. A failure to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord can bring suffering in our lives. Then sometimes when we're disobedient, we suffer because God chastens us. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receives. We don't like to suffer at the hand of the Lord, no more than we like to suffer at the hands of mom and dad when we were children. When they brought out the paddle or the belt or whatever means they chose to inflict pain upon you that you might learn a lesson. To some degree, you suffered there. Suffering is just a part of life, but your attitude toward this suffering will go a long ways in how you view it, in the picture that you take of it. We also find out that there are times in life that God allows or permits suffering in our life that we might not sin against him. I believe that's what happened here with the Apostle Paul. God permitted Satan to buffet him, the messenger of Satan. Has God ever permitted that in your life? Has he? What about Job, the patriarch Job? You know, Satan came to God and God asked him if he'd ever considered his servant Job. Well, Satan said, you've hedged him about and blessed him with a great big family, with great wealth. He says, you know, no wonder Job's doing so well. That ought to teach us something to draw nigh unto God and to be in close communion with God all the days of our lives. But I'll tell you right now, Satan cannot touch you unless God gives Satan permission. Satan knows your weaknesses, but God permits Satan to buffet us just as he did the Apostle Paul. In the book of James, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, which means various tryings. The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, becoming perfect and entire and wanting nothing, fulfilling your life in Jesus Christ. So, you know, there's things that we suffer for in life. If someone tells you that if you're to follow God and you're to keep his commandments to the best of your ability and to do all the things that you can, that you're going to live a life and never suffer a day, that's not Bible. It may be something that you want or you desire, but it's not the biblical teachings of the Word of God. But there is a way to live beyond our difficulties. You know, it's amazing that two people with the same problem, the different outcomes that happen in their life, and it's all based on their attitude. Some people let it take them down and drag them down to have a miserable and a difficult life. Other people are blessed by God's mercy and his grace to rise above whatever difficulty that might be. You know, when we think about this thorn in the flesh. You know, have you ever been sick, or have you ever had a problem at work, or have you ever had a problem in your family or in your church? It doesn't matter where it's at. And have you ever had a desire for that to go away, or for God to remove it, to get rid of it? You know, God can do that. There are people who are terribly sick, terminally ill. And by great miracles, God substitutes that terminal illness with good health. He does. It's not impossible. We receive blessings from time to time that way. But many times God blesses us by transforming us, by teaching us how to rise above the troubles and the difficulties that we have in this life. Notice in verse 8, Apostle Paul said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me," be removed. You know, Paul said it's necessary that I have this thorn in the flesh, that I might not be exalted above measure, that I might not get the big head, that I might not think that I'm really somebody extra special, that I'm above and beyond every one of God's children. He said it's necessary. But I tell you, it wasn't long. He was saying, "Lord, take this away, remove it." How many times have you had a problem in life and you continue to pray, "God, remove this problem. God, remove this person out of my life. Put me somewhere else. Get rid of this problem for me." You know, that's a prayer we often pray. Paul here only prayed three times and the Lord answered him. Have you ever wondered, has the Lord answered you when you prayed for something to be removed and it was not removed, and maybe God gave you your answer and you just didn't accept it? Have you ever thought about that? You know, baseball, we understand in the game of baseball that three strikes and you're out. Paul prayed three times that the Lord would remove this thorn in the flesh. Whatever this thorn was, it doesn't matter if it's physical. There's a lot of argument and a lot of people who believe it's this, that, or the other, you know, but the Bible really doesn't tell us. Some people believe that Paul had eye trouble, and I've read other things, but I believe it doesn't tell us for a purpose, that this example is to encourage us no matter what we're suffering, whether it be mental anguish, spiritual problems, physical or natural problems, whatever they might be. But Paul prayed three times, "Lord, get rid of this from me." Have you ever prayed that prayer in your life? Get rid of this problem. Get this out of my life. And yet it didn't cease. Maybe we need to understand that God left that problem here in our life for a purpose. We don't like that idea, do we? None of us like that idea. But I tell you, when we begin to learn this lesson, we find that Paul is teaching us that our dependence should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. I love my wife, and I know you love your wife or husband, and I know we have a great relationship, but I tell you, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, you got no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one that you have. That's the one that you can depend upon day in and day out. The Lord is the one that can help you rise above your difficulties and your problems. I'm not taking away from the relationships that we have. They're a great blessing from God. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord that we look unto. It's the Lord that is our helper. He said he would never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say that the Lord is our helper. Is he our helper? You know, it's easy to want problems removed from your life. I know that I probably prayed that prayer. Maybe after three times, maybe I prayed it 100 times. Maybe I didn't get the message. Maybe I didn't receive God's answer to the prayer. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient." That word sufficient means to lift up, to raise up. I believe by God's grace, we can be risen, raised up above the trial or the difficulty. This trial, this burden, I tell you, it was painful, whether physical or whether it was emotional or spiritual. Whatever it was a constant pain or a reoccurring pain. It was something that Paul really wanted rid of. You know, if we were sick and had a pain, we'd certainly pray, "God, please remove this from my life." But I tell you what, when we are humbled and when God leaves things in place to transform our lives, we realize that the only way we're going to get through the difficulty of the day, whatever it might be, is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our helper in time of need. God is our strength. our refuge, a very present help in trouble, as it says in Psalms 46:1. God is our helper. And I believe Paul is encouraging us to look beyond our troubles, to get through our troubles by God's grace. You know, we so believe in God's grace that it delivered us from the penalty of sin, and it did, from death and trespasses and sins. It removed the guilt, and one day you and I are going to live in heaven because of God's grace. But I tell you right now, God's grace is sufficient for you today, tomorrow, and every day that you live. God never promised to give you a perfect life with no troubles, no problems, perfect relationships, perfect bosses, perfect children. It doesn't exist. We all struggle with one thing or the other at different junctures and points in our life. But Paul said here, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I want you to understand, he is God. His strength is perfect. But I tell you what, we can't be anywhere close to perfect unless we depend upon him. It's only when we're weak. Have you ever noticed when tragedies arise in your life, whether it be loss of loved ones or you lose a job or you're stressed out over this or stressed out over that, that when the end of the day comes, you know, when enough of something happens or you're brought to the end of the way in your life, you'll come to the point of realizing there's no one left but the Lord. You're not going to get from point A to point B any longer unless it be by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our help in time of need. He is a very present help. You know, the Lord is right here. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? Do we get up in the morning believing that? I believe it's a real thing. It's not something that we just preach about and talk about. Can God, by his grace, lift you up to where you can tolerate somebody that has given you a problem all the days of your life or for many years? This happens in our lives. It happens in the workplace. It happens in our families. And unfortunately, it can even happen in a church where sinners congregate to worship the only true and living God. I wish it didn't. And one day when we live in heaven and that place that Paul went to, it won't exist. But until then, he said, my grace. I believe Jesus literally said, I am sufficient for thee. I am the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. But he says, by my strength, all things are possible. We all struggle. I tell you, we're like a roller coaster down through the journey of life, are we not? Sometimes we're on a high, sometimes we're on a low. Paul knew that it was necessary that he be buffeted by the messenger of Satan or by some thorn in the flesh, that he might not become exalted above measure. I tell you, we all fall into that rut if we're not careful. He says, my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for our spiritual needs. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. It says, and such trust we have we through Christ Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Is your sufficiency of God every day? In your job? In your family? In your relationships with your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your wife, your husband? Do you find your sufficiency in God? We have a tendency to find our sufficiency in ourselves sometimes, don't we? Or in others. But I tell you, we need to lean upon the Lord, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You know, we're taught in these verses that we can rise above our troubles. God will leave burdens in our life for a purpose. To teach us and to transform us, to help us to depend upon him. He says he'll take care of our physical needs right here in the 12th chapter and the 9th verse of 2 Corinthians. You know, Paul had this physical ailment, or maybe it was mental, but a thorn in the flesh sounds like a physical pain. It was equivalent to that. And he was just like you and I. Please, Lord, get rid of this. Get this out of my life. How many times have you had that happen to you? I tell you, even mental anguish can be difficult. Stress, when somebody is bothering you, bringing problems into your life, the Lord says, if you'll depend upon me and by my grace, you can excel. You can be lifted up above these difficulties. You can. I believe Paul states it kind of the same way in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. You know what that tells me? That tells me that we all go through similar trials and difficulties in our life, do we not? You know, we all face the challenge of putting a loved one in the grave that at different times, sometimes earlier in life than we want, sometimes later, but it is something that we all go through. Most of us suffer from some type of sickness or physical problem somewhere in our life, whether it be in our youth or middle-aged or when we get old. These things are real problems for real people, just like you and I, and we're going to be confronted with those difficulties. But I tell you, there's something far better. Paul went to heaven, and he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew what was on the other side. He knew what was where God was at and where you and I one day will dwell. He knew that. Therefore, there was no affliction too great, no problem too difficult. But for him to live was Christ. And I tell you, he suffered far more than you and I did, but that was how he was able to get through. His focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. I am sufficient for thee, Paul. He's sufficient for you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can elevate us above those problems. You know, people talk rude to you. People treat you wrong. You struggle with this person or that person or whatever it might be in your life. Look unto the Lord. He says in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. See, one thing we have is a problem with is we want to understand things so often in our lives, do we not? We want to understand these testings and these tryings. You know, Paul over here accepted the fact that the problem he had was going to continue. He did. He prayed three times and things didn't change whatsoever. And he decided that when the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, notice what he said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, he understands that we have infirmities. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We have infirmities and the Lord knows about them. He knows your sicknesses and he knows your struggles. He knows your mental anguish. He knows your stress. He knows every problem that you have in this life. But I tell you, if we don't look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to get beyond those problems. We're not. We're not going to endure. He says here, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that that you're able. How many times have you felt like in your life that the struggles that have been presented to you were more than you could handle? I know there's been some times in my life that way, but I can say, looking back, by the grace of God, here I am. And that's the truth. By the grace of God, I stand here today. I can't explain to you how I got from point A to point B. But God laid his hand upon me as he does all his children, and by his grace, we continued our journey in this life. We got beyond that struggle or that difficulty. Paul said not to look back, and if you're not going to look back, you have to look forward, and looking forward is looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. His grace, he is sufficient for thee. In your times of weakness, in your times of struggle, you will depend upon Jesus Christ more than you ever have at any time in your life. When you've lost your job and you have no hope, when your children will not speak to you again for whatever trouble you might have had, when you got friends that you were friends with for years, the Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We all have these struggles in life, one kind or the other. They're real problems for real people, for God's people, just like you and I. But the Lord is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can always count on him. We can always depend upon him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't try to understand what's going on. Direct your problems to the Lord. Lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ. Understanding that he can take you to where you need to go when you can't get there on your own, because most of us are not getting anywhere on our own.
We can do nothing of ourselves. Without Him, we can do nothing. Notice what He said. In everything that you do in life, in verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 3, in everything that you do, acknowledge Him. Do we do that? Do we get up in the morning and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of our life? When we go to work and we get around those folks that we work with, do we continually acknowledge Jesus? You're Lord of my life. Guide my steps this day. You know, we need to reflect upon the promises of Jesus Christ and not the problems of the day. And that's a hard task sometimes. But He promised that if you would direct, if you would acknowledge Him in all your ways, that He would direct your paths. Did He not? He would direct your steps every day of your life if you acknowledge Him in all that you do. That's not something that He said might happen. That was a promise that's given to us in the Word of God. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding, we don't have to understand everything. All we need to understand is Jesus Christ will lead us where we need to go. We need to follow Him and focus upon Him. We need not to look back. We can't fix the mistakes of the past or the problems or the struggles. But we need to realize that those problems and those struggles exist in our life. You may be going along now and everything be real smooth. But that doesn't mean they're going to be smooth every day from here on out, does it? You don't know what you may encounter. You don't know what challenges may approach you in the coming days, months, or years. But I tell you, there is something that you do know. That the Lord will be with you every step of the way. That He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That He is sufficient for all your needs. When God doesn't remove the problem, He's promised to get you through the problem. He's promised to help you go beyond whatever difficulty it is. And sometimes it looks like there's no hope, but there's always hope. He is the God of all hope. He is our security. He is our strength. May God bless us to always be strengthened in Him. Because I tell you, struggles are just part of the human life of the child of God. Everyone struggles. You know, it'd be nice to say that I've joined the church, I've been born of the Spirit of God, I'll never have another bad day in my life. You won't have a bad day in your life if you focus upon Jesus Christ. You'll have some more struggles, but your days will be good because He's promised to carry you when you couldn't walk, to help you along when you were limping, because we're going to have those days in our lives, all of us. If you don't think you are, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The Bible tells us those days are coming. He says back over there that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Are you able to endure? Are you able to continue on? The struggles that we face in life are not something that we should drag us down. When the Lord Jesus Christ told Paul, My grace is sufficient for thee, He told him, I'm sufficient for thee. He said, it's in me that you live, move, and have your being. It's in me that you have hope of living in eternity. Paul knew this, unlike you and I, because he had been where the Lord Jesus Christ was, where the holy angels resided, where the saints of God's people who had passed on before us are at. He knew by experience that his gain would be great. He knew it because he saw it. And he knew that no matter what struggle he was confronted with, what suffering he might have to put up with for the sake of Jesus Christ was nothing. He knew the Lord would get him through it. The Lord would get us through it too. If we take our problems to Jesus, if we look unto Him with every difficulty, because we all have them, we're not going to get rid of them. They're part of life. You know, I encourage you in the coming week, when you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, give me a measure of your grace this day that I may continue on no matter what confronts me. I'll trust in you today, Lord. Said, I don't understand what may happen, and some of the things that do happen I'll not understand. But I trust in you, Lord, that you're going to lead me and guide me. And in everything I do this day, I acknowledge you're Lord of my life. You're going to carry me down the road. And I tell you, He made you a great promise. that He'd be there, He'd never leave you nor forsake you, and that He'd guide your steps. What greater promise could we want in life than to know that when we get up every morning, the Lord has promised, when we talk to Him, acknowledge Him, that He will guide our steps in everything that we do. I know that many days in my life I've failed to acknowledge the Lord from sunup to sundown. I've failed to rise with the Lord in the morning and go to bed with the Lord at night. But I know His promises are true. He is faithful to His word. And if we'll acknowledge Him in all that we're doing, He said He will guide your steps. He will direct them. And He says, when I don't remove a burden from your life, understand one thing. I'm going to help you rise above that problem. I'm going to help you get beyond that problem. I'm not going to get rid of it, because that's going to help you continue to depend upon me. I believe that's a great lesson there, our dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we depend upon our own knowledge or the arm of the flesh or other people in this world. But the Lord's teaching us that our dependence should be upon Him and none other. His grace is sufficient for thee. May God bless you this morning, is my prayer. I thank you for your kind attention.